The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 5th of January, 2018. And as I say in every show, stand up, deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. These are things that we've been keying on now for about 8 weeks. We are going to be adding more and more to it. Our mission is for everyone associated with us, myself, 2018. We're just going to knock through the hemisphere. And there's a different even buzz here in M&M than there's ever been. And the last bunch of people, our family that's been on here with me, you can feel the buzz on their end. They know there's something special going on here. And we're going to capture the universe, I'm telling you. So practice that daily, midday, nightly, and watch your life change. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Go out and check out the Winners and Champions, Inc. It's not fully operational now. It might be by Monday. All the software is finished up now where you can go out, nail PayPal standard, and buy the product. There's 14 modules there. If you like result-producing movements and result-producing mental tenacity, I've got it all there for you. I've got 15 years of the FBC Stone and Steel Yard out there, and I do the majority of it now. But we're doing those mashing middies in the power rack, which when you see this stuff, it will blow your mind. And I have our good pal Martin Janzik's coming in here shortly. I was telling him about the power rack, and I thank Frank DeMeo too. Frank sent me the name of a fabricator that's in my neck of the woods. We are looking for a fabricator to work on this rack that I designed. But I will tell you up front, if you have reservations and you like to flap your lips a lot, we don't want to get involved because the lawyers have already going to make you sign papers that will basically you'll get sued if you release any of this. So it's serious stuff here, and I think this is going to be something when I get a prototype that's going to jolt the world when you see what I've done with this and the thought that went into it. That's for a whole nother time. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Look at all the shows that Martin and I have done to date. This show will be up tomorrow, barring any problems, but we're right on top of them right now. And also, too, go out and sign up for our free newsletter on motivationmuscle.com. I've been lax in doing it, but I am going to get back on top of it, and anybody that signs on will get a great newsletter from me. Before I bring Martin in, I've been reading this the last 4 days because I did a show on called Fortitude for Attitude. And I thank three big people that basically since I was little that I've admired. And now I've had them both on M&M. And, of course, Anthony DiTillo, who was my main guy with Power Rack. We lost Anthony, unfortunately, but he's still here in spirit. So Anthony DiTillo, John McKean, who I'm working with on all this power rack training. He's highly involved behind the scenes, doing it himself. And, of course, Steve Jeck. And Steve's been on here, and I've been corresponding with him quite a bit lately. And obviously he writes for Milo. And I'm going to read something from April 1996, Volume 4, Number 1. And I owe everything to Steve for stone lifting. I don't know if I ever would have touched a stone if it wasn't for watching Steve lift on that DVD where he went to Iceland to lift the Husafell. And here it goes. If a tree falls in the forest, are you man enough to move it? By the end of the first week of medieval lit, I knew I was in trouble. Oh, I could handle the term papers and most of the old English. I was, however, having trouble relating to my classmates. We'd read legends of heroic knights and warriors, epic poetry of steadfast seafarers, and yet, when class dismissed, they'd prance next to the sweet shop for coffee and cream puffs while I, frothing at the mouth and battle ready, would bolt to the nearest field to throw hammers and stones. Why? I was inspired. Inspiration is not a passive word. It is built on the Latin root for spiritus, from which we get spirit, and literally means breath or inhale. Yogis and pearl divers aside, there's not a lot to be gained from holding one's breath. I believe it is equally futile to stockpile one's mental arsenal and never wage war. Now back to our tree. It seems to have fallen and blocked your path. Some will no doubt stand around quibbling as to whether it actually made a sound. How about you? Very, very important. And with that, I'm going to bring in a super stone lifter, someone that has been on the show multiple times, someone that I not only admire, but I respect. And we were talking about this offline. I feel that this gentleman not only would have my back, but I would march to hell with him side by side. So be it. So, Martin, welcome to the show. I'm going to give a little information before we start talking. Number one, he's a stone lifter, strong man, power lifter. He's a Scottish Championships competitor, and he is the muscle behind the Facebook page Historic Lifting. And one thing, too, we're going to get into Martin's new book. But one thing too, we were talking about this, and I know that the show has sent some people to Martin, and Douglas Graham's involved with Martin and here too heavily on different matters. But the thing that I think is great about him is there's a guy, like a lot of the guys have been on here the last three or four shows, where they give back, man, incredibly. And these guys don't have to do this, but they are true men of strength. Martin, welcome back, brother. It is an honor to have you back in 2018, and Happy New Year, my friend.
Hi, Eric. Happy New Year to you, my friend. It's really good to be speaking to you again. It's been a good 5 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Since we spoke last, I have missed our conversations, so it's really good to get back on and speak to you again tonight.
Absolutely. Anything I missed, lay it out there, and we're going to get started on three subjects with you today, my friend.
No, what you said is fine. Let's cap it at that and we'll just keep going with your three subjects.
Okay, well, first of all, for anybody that doesn't know, Martin has put together a book soon to be released. And the name of the book is Stone Lifting, An Ancient Test of Strength Revived. Secondly, we're going to talk about his amazing deadlift with four fingers. And we're going to talk about Bill Crawford's New Hampshire Games, if we can get to all that. If not, we'll pick it up the next time. But we're going to talk about some pretty amazing things there. And Martin obviously put on a stone clinic, which I'll tell you right now, Charlie Oliphant was on last night and the show is up. Charlie and I got into that quite heavily about the way stone lifting is really turning into something big, especially the Denny Stones right now. So, Martin, first off, the book. Why the book and why now? What did you feel was out there that was not there and you could fill the void, my friend?
Well, the main reason for the book was because I get a lot of people give me a lot of questions about the how to train for stone lifting, the best things to do in a gym, what sort of weights they could maybe start off lifting. How to go about getting involved with the historic stones. And of course, I'm a firm believer that stone lifting is one of the greatest, if not the very best, in my opinion, tool for training for strength and grip fitness.
Yep.
And it can, if adapted properly to any ongoing training for any sort of sport, I think stone lifting, if put into a proper training routine, can go towards making an athlete even greater than what they already are. So I just wanted to put all this information about especially technical aspects of lifting. There's quite a big chapter about the technique from lifting, from to start off from the ground up to the knees, from knees to chest, to chest to shoulder, to shoulder or to chest to overhead. All this is explained in a lot of detail and pictures as well. It's also about hand placement and foot placement, getting your stance properly set. And of course, it's got what I like to call the basic 10.
Yep.
Which I think is very important. It's two sets of five. The first five are the what I call the characteristics of the stone.
Yep.
That make it each stone different and unique, which are, of course, the stone's size, its shape, its texture, whether it's smooth or rough, the weight of the stone, and, of course, the balance of the stone, whether, because natural stones are mostly going to be uneven.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're lifting a deadlift in a gym, in a bar, you've got maybe 50, 60, 70 kilos on either side of the bar. Lifting a stone, it's not balanced properly. It's like having maybe 50 kilos on one side and 70 kilos on the other side of the bar. And you can manage how awkward and it's going to be in your muscles especially.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about knowing about the characteristics and how to properly judge a stone before lifting it. And so you can make like a proper assessment of a stone. So you can see how to, like, if it is unbalanced, you can know where to put your hand placement.
Mm-hmm.
Just counteract that balance for your body. And of course, the other five of the basic 10 are all about the five lifts you can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
from the ground up, say, from the ground to 4 inches above the ground for a successful lift. You've got to the, onto the lap, to the chest, to the shoulder and overhead. So it's just, the book is just all to explain these things and give people a bit of history and the culture of where stone lifting kind of came from and where it can go, and just try and make people want to start. It's good for a beginner, but it's good for an intermediate and anyone who wants to start or get better.
Yeah,
the book can hopefully help them to do all that.
Well, yeah, and you know what I think that's really special about it is that you're lending now to, I'm sure, a lot of questions even experienced stone lifters have. I mean, like you and I were talking about before we came on, you're constantly out improving. You're constantly out learning. None of us are ever going to know all the answers. But, see, I think that, look, it, I know what people tell me that are on the stone or offline about you that I can't tell you how many people have told me that either you gave them directions how to get somewhere, you met them and lifted stones with them. And I really think, I said this to Martin before we came on because we were talking about David Webster coming on M&M, hopefully down the road. And I said to him, I believe that he's the next up. He is the next, he's the mantle. He's going to be the David Webster in the coming years because eventually David isn't going to be here. Not that we don't want to see him stay here till he's 150, but my point is you need people coming up that love this stuff the way the people that our predecessors did and to keep this going. And I think stone lifting right now is starting to come to a head, so to speak, where you're seeing more and more people discovering it. They're starting to find out. And, you know, as Charlie Oliphant was on with us last night, you know, he said he's seen a big surge, he feels, in just going to lift the Denny stones. I think that is the greatest thing. And I do agree with you totally that stone lifting, I'll tell you what, and that's pretty much what I'm doing now, power rack and stone lifting, power rack and stone lifting. I've had arguments with people about this. I think doing those things, dead start, dead stop in the rack, is like lifting an unorthodox tool. They'll say, well, it's still a barbell. I said, yes and no, because when you put yourself in positions that really you shouldn't even be able to move things, just like a stone in different positions, and you do, that's an unorthodox piece of equipment or whatever you want to call it, you know, something that people don't lift every day. And that's what I love about this. But let me ask you this too, Martin, or you can comment on anything after the question. You know, you're giving out an awful lot of material, obviously, and it's much needed now. But what if, yep. Let me just pose a question to you. What if somebody comes to you and says, you know, I've been reading this and you're telling me really all you need to do is lift stones, but, you know, I'm a little skeptical of that. I still feel we need the weight world, the barbell, the deadlift, all those things we talk about. What's your reply to that?
Well, you know, for me, all I would ever need, I think, I'm comfortable just lifting stones, but I also, once a week, because through family life and having we've got Emily almost 12 this month.
Yeah.
And Sarah, she'll be 15 months in a few weeks.
God bless her.
So we've family life and that, and I wouldn't change that for the world.
Right.
I mean, especially can having one kid was great, but having two is like a blessing. It's making me a far better person than I was before she came along.
Sure.
A lot of times I just lift stones in the back garden.
Yeah.
3 times a week, but then I go to the gym once a week as well to work all the incorporated muscles.
Yep.
to make the muscles stronger. So I do. I am a bit of a believer that it is also as well as lifting stones after stone after stone, which I think you can get if you want to become like really 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 strong. I think lifting stones is the way to get there. Especially the way it works your muscles, because your muscles are going to work a far different way lifting, especially natural stones, to lifting weights in a gym, because your muscles have got to go. Your body's going to be put in different positions than what it would be. In the book, I've got a chapter about the gym exercises you can actually do at the gym.
Oh, nice.
To help improve. It's all exercises that can simulate each part of the movement. So you've got like bent over rows, you've got the deadlifts, you've got front squats, like which is like lifting the stone from the thighs up to the standing position at chest height. And I'm a firm believer in an exercise that I do every single week without fail at the gym and at home is forward raises with the dumbbell.
Yeah.
So I think that movement from taking it from down at the waist to just above chest height, to above shoulder height, should I say. It's like moving, it's the same sort of movement you're going to go through from lifting a stone from like halfway up your stomach to above the chest.
Yep.
And I feel like that, especially getting stones in one movement from the ground straight up to the shoulder without having to put it in the lap. I think that bent over barbell rows and especially forward dumbbell raises have helped that a great deal. So I would say, especially for a beginner, do some gym work as well. But start off with stones maybe once a week or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I very like workout because it's like you say, it's the way your muscles are going to have to react and the way your body position is going to be. And it's totally different from doing gym work. And your body is really going to have to build up to that over time.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, you said there's a lot in there for the beginner. And this is important. I don't want to give too much of the book away, obviously, because obviously we want you to be able to sell the book. But there's just a few things I'm interested in here. For the beginner, let's just say they haven't even lifted a stone. And obviously, you and I have talked about sandbags and all that prior, but if they want to get stones, and I think you and I have touched upon this many times, probably the best thing to do, obviously, would be to go find some river stones or stuff maybe out in the woods, right, to maybe get going?
Yeah, well, if you've got a way to transport them home, whether you're happy putting stones in the boot of your car or in the floor of your front seat, or if you've got a trailer, especially,
yeah,
it'd be better, like.
Yep.
But as long as you can transport them home, then you can go around the building sites.
Yeah.
Can get them. There's constantly going to be stones dug up from the ground.
Yep.
Taken down from buildings. You can go to quarries. There's big any size of stones in the quarries where they're cutting big stones down at little chips for like the gardens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just find one. You can go to a field, a farmer's field even.
Sure.
And start speak to the farmer.
Yep.
You can get one from his field because a lot of stones in the like fields that farmers are going to have. There's the woods, there's anywhere, the roadsides. As long as you're not trespassing and you ask permission, you can go and get a stone anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You can get a little one and you can take home a bigger one after that.
Yeah.
And of course, you can also, there's another two bits in the book that are making the apparatus to weigh the stones so you can weigh them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also a bit about what we're saying, how I think the stones, a good stone lifting routine can be incorporated into any physically active sport and help improve an athlete for any number of sports. So there's optional exercise you can do just for with the stones alone.
I did that with Alex, who was here for quite a while for basketball. We did a lot of stone lifting, and man, he got so muscular and strong, and we concentrated mainly on the deadlift and the squat. But here's something I want to tell everybody too, which is a real cheap way to do it, is go anywhere and buy, grab some strong boxes, any size, shape you want. And what I would do is you go to local Home Depot or one of those places, grab Quikrete. You can mix it up in your wheelbarrow, or if you got a mixer, make sure you use some type of silicone, rub it all inside the box, pour it in. Damn, man, you got any shape, size stone you got, make sure you have a grinder to grind the corners and the edges smooth, because if you don't, it's going to be like a razor cut when you go to lift it. Don't do that. But that's just another thing Mark and I do here. It's a great inexpensive. Yeah. And I mean.
I did that. Stones to start with.
Yeah.
Just went and got a few boxes made up, wooden boxes.
Yeah.
And I just got some concrete and I poured it in and put in some extra, like some rebar.
Yeah, yeah.
And some steel just to strengthen it up.
Yep.
Just as you would like a concrete floor.
Yeah. And you know what the nice... Go ahead.
Because I used to work as a builder for a number of years.
Yeah,
so,
you know. But you know what? That's a nice easy way. If the thing gets cracked or you chip it and you want to keep it, mix up some more cement and keep patching it up. Also, too, you made a great point about, you know, when they're tearing stuff up. Spring will be coming, especially here. I'm going to be looking for roads or whatever, and I want to get me some heavy concrete slabs to bring home too this year. That's one of the things on my bucket list.
Really,
for sure.
Concrete slabs.
Yeah, I love it.
Or what I do as well, when I've been adding like plates, weightlifting plates.
Yep.
Onto the stones, I tie them on with rope.
Yep.
And then I secure them again with duct tape.
Yep.
Just the duct tape was like a secondary measure just to stop them from moving at all.
Good idea.
To lift them. So I've got a stone in the garden. I'll press overhead. It started off at 83 kilos. It's now up to over 100 kilos. Just
yeah.
Been added on.
Yeah.
Tied on plates to it.
Yep.
And then I've got the stone. It was 136 kilos. It's now 160.
Yep.
I've been adding the plates to that as well.
Yeah.
So over time you can add on plate after plate. And you can add on, like, say, a 2, like a 5, and then another 5.
Yeah.
And then you can add on like a 10, and then another, take off the 2 5s, put on a 10 and a 5.
Yep.
So you've got 15. You can do any number of things.
It's awesome stuff. I mean, I do that with my millstones because they're drilled out to deadlift. I can put a center through there and load that right up against it. And of course, my Hoosa steel stones that I know I keep saying it, but they will be on the market one day. It's all shot loaded, two different ways it's loaded with the way we built the chambers. But when you can load plates on pins on that thing, let me tell you, just like Martin said, I don't have to put the thing back down on the ground and measure out 10 pounds a shot. I throw 2 5s, a 5 on each side, pick it up, and away we go again. But that's a whole nother show. What else do you got with the book you want to hit upon, Martin? And after that, we'll move on to the four-finger deadlift you're having so much success with.
Well, that's most of what I like to say just now, because I don't want to give too much away. But a great deal of it is, like I say, about technical work.
Yeah.
The technical aspect of lifting the stone, so to kind of minimise any sort of injury occurring.
Yep.
And then, of course, they've got the gym exercises you can do to follow up to help strengthen the muscles.
Yeah, yep.
As well as the secondary muscles are going to help to kick in and make you a stronger lifter. And every exercise is kind of simulated to the for a certain part of the exercise. And then you've got the stone lifting exercise that you can do just with stones alone.
Yeah.
Sometimes gyms, some gyms aren't like up to my taste.
No, I'm with it. Yeah.
Some of them can be quite expensive as well.
Yeah.
But the gym I go to just now, they sponsor me, so they let me train for free.
Yeah.
And so they're really good. And so like I say, the chapter about just doing exercise with the stone alone. You can do a number of exercises that you can do in a gym with the barbell and such in your back garden with a stone.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff. Okay. And you know what you're doing for them too? You're giving them away. You just said price in a gym. Have a few implements, work them real hard, and you got a winning package there, man. You know, and that book, I'm sure that book in the way we've talked about, that's going to prove to you, you don't need to have $1 million gym to become $1 million body. And I don't mean something where you're doing selfies for Facebook. I'm talking where not only do you look strong, but you're rugged and you know how to lift things and you enjoy it. I'm very happy for it. It's very exciting to see something like that coming about from a guy that does it. You know, we see so many ghost writers all over the place, and then we find out, well, a lot of these guys didn't even do what was written. So, yeah, I congratulate you on that, brother, and I can't wait to read it.
The full book is just my own personal experience of how I've trained and what I do. So there's nothing that I've actually put in there that I've read somewhere else.
Right.
Everything just comes from my personal experience and what I've done and how I've succeeded to get better and better and lift heavier and heavier.
Yeah.
And what I've passed on to other people that seem to be working for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, Martin, I've always said it, you know, you are definitely a gem in the strength world, but the thing that you bring is you bring your love for everything you do. And now, obviously, more and more people, I mean, I hear it from them. What you're doing and showing people, you're getting people now to do these things, and let's hope that they are passing your knowledge on to whomever is coming up behind them. Because I'm telling you right now, you'll see more and more of this in 2018. Motivation and Muscle is going after everything now. And we're not taking anything from anybody. We're men. We know how to act and treat people accordingly, but we love to do this stuff, and we can't emphasize enough to people that you need to learn how to do this stuff. It will change your life, and you will be the best you'll ever be. All right, let's talk about the deadlift. This is very impressive. So describe to everybody what you're doing with four fingers on an Olympic bar deadlifting. Take it away.
It's four fingers in each hand. It's four fingers in each hand, but what it is, I'm not I feel I've got more strength in my fingers than I do in a proper grip.
Okay.
So the thumb is never used. The palm is never used. All it is I'm curling the fingers around slightly and hooking them onto the bar and just lifting from there.
Mm.
So there's no palm. There's no, like, grip involved there. There's no palm. There's no thumb. It's just the fingers alone.
Do people realize, though, how strong you got to be to do that? I mean, seriously, fingers, four fingers. Tell everybody what got you into this, obviously. And I had sent you some stuff about grip not that long ago, and you told me more or less about this, that I'm not doing these things that a lot of – because I said to him, what are you doing for your grip? And I know I've talked to our mutual friend Bill Crawford. You know, Bill's a big believer in the bent row and rowing stones. He feels that there will make you have those dart-like fingers where you can grab onto anything when you don't have a handhold at all, like with the Husafel. So what got you into this, first off?
Well, to start with, I'll agree with Bill there. And when Bill is very, very knowledgeable.
Yep.
He's actually when somebody I look up to in the world of stone lifting. What he's saying about the bent over rows with the stone.
Yeah.
I do that as well.
Yep.
And that will build up masses and masses of strength in your grip and your forearm. Because I mean that is the very essence of your lifting a stone. It's your grip and the first part of the lift is gripping the stone, squeezing in with your palms and your forearms and ripping it off the ground as hard as you can up over your knees, on your thighs, and then you can readjust, squeeze in with your chest, your biceps, your forearms, and lift from there. But to start with, it's all about finger strength and hand strength. So bent over rows with a stone is one of the best things you could probably do. I do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, my grip came from when I used to do tug-of-war. I did tug-of-war for 6 years.
Okay.
And all the guys in the team used to put on tacky in their hands, same tacky they used in the Atlas stones in strongman competitions. But I never did use Taki. I just wanted to rely on my own grip. And I actually ended up gripping on the rope longer than most of the guys. And that was just through pure strength. So a lot of my strength built up through just holding on to that rope for as long as I could.
Yeah.
Every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, sometimes through the week, for hours through the weekend. And training twice a week as well, same thing.
Yeah.
But then what I did for a lot of my grip as well after that was I picked up a concrete block. Over here, we've got different concrete blocks than what they are in America, what they build with. So it was a 4-inch concrete block. It weighs 18 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 inches wide. So I just gripped it with the tips of my fingers.
Yep.
And picked up from there. Started just picking up off the ground, and then I started to raise it up like a forward raise with a dumbbell.
Mm-hmm.
I did that same thing with the concrete block. So it's it's 100 millimeter thick, wide, so 4 inches. So just squeezing with the tips of your fingers and your thumb, and then just take it over there. And I felt that really built up my grip quite a lot as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you, that's interesting because you'll always hear people say, well, I use like a Rolling Thunder, or I use a 2-inch dumbbell, or I'm using a wrist roller for this and that. And the thing, my whole problem with all that stuff is this, and I like the way you and Bill talk about this anyways, is you're actually doing things that really transfer to what we're doing here, lifting stones, whether they're on rings or you've got to pick them up and walk with them, or you've got to take the Invern, roll it up the front and shoulder it, and obviously some people can press it overhead. So, we talked about this many times, and Bill brought him up last week, Norm Shemansky. And, I know you know this, but it's worth repeating all the time. People would walk up to him and say to him, how do you get stronger in the press? And he would say, press. Martin, it's so simplistic, though, it goes right over most people's heads. If you're going to...
That's because there's so many people out there. They think you've got to go to the gym for, say, 6 days a week and spend all the money you can earn and take all these supplements and steroids and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
You don't need any of that. All you need is a butt garden, which you're going to have.
Yep.
Basic stuff. You need a stone. You can get concrete blocks. You can make your own concrete stone. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Just a stone.
Yeah.
And the best thing to do for lifting a stone is, of course, just lift a stone.
Yeah.
It's the best thing you could do to train. So I've had a lot of people say to me as well, how do I train for stone lifting? Well, you just get a stone and you lift it.
Yeah.
But it's just like you say, it's just as simple as that.
Yep.
How do you get better at press? You press. How do you get better at deadlift?
Yep.
You deadlift.
Yep.
But as long as you stick to the basics of stone lifting, you will get better and better and better.
Yeah.
But as long as you learn the basics and stick to the basics. That's what's in the book. As long as you do that, you keep teaching people the basics. But as you lift, your body will tell you and that your own little changes and stuff you can make to your lift, it's going to make it better for you. But as long as you incorporate the basics every time, then you will get better and better and better. And you'll lift safer as well. And minimize any likelihood of injury happening.
Without a doubt. But here's something, Martin, right there. I mean, you could do a book just on that. I mean, it's the same way with that. Look, it's the same way on anything, all right? It's new. Okay, now here we go. We're going to start. And first time, it could be the first 50 times. You don't even get that thing off the ground. But on the 51st time, it comes up 6 inches, and you dump it. And then on the 52nd time, it's coming up a little bit higher, and by the 58th time, you just put it on your lap, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the designation to me of somebody that really wants to do something, because if this stuff was so damn easy, everybody could do it. Let's face it. Let's not pull punches here. But here's the thing.
It's a hard thing to do.
It is, man. And you know what? But what I've realized more than anything, especially from doing the stones and the midi mashing I'm doing – especially with what I'm doing in the rack to prepare for all this stuff that I've never done before. I've always been a very confident guy, to a point where maybe sometimes overzealous and you get your face smacked in and you take a step back and you say, okay, now we got to go back in and get it. But one thing I've learned with this stuff I'm doing now is I have a different style of confidence. And the confidence when I walk in and get under a bar and have to dead start it or dead start it from a pull in such a non-advantageous lift where it's like almost impossible to get it moving and then let alone pull it against rods and hold it as long as I can. It's created this style of stuff where I just go in now and do it regardless. There's no apprehension. There's no more like, well, what if I miss? So what? I'll get it next time. All right, I put 5 more pounds a week on the lift. What if I blow that thing up? Well, we'll get it the next time. See, I'm not taking anything to heart where it's taking and spinning me 360 in the opposite direction. I'm aware of a miss or whatever, but it's no more this, Jesus, man, now what, is this going to be a succession of this? No more. So there's certain things you do, and the same way with a stone, like I said, on the 58th time, you now lapped it. Maybe by 62, 63, you're standing up straight, bolt upright with it. That's the point of all this stuff, and I think that is what the beauty is of it. And this is missed by so many people. Go ahead, brother.
I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
Because it's far better to go and train, whether you have a good training session or not, or whether you feel 100% or no.
Yep.
It's far better to go and train than to sit in on the couch and watch TV like a couch potato.
Yep. Yeah.
Even if your training session doesn't go as well as it did the week before or the week before that,
yep.
It's far better to go and do something and keep your strength up.
I agree.
Than to do nothing. Like you said, you can lift, you know, maybe lift that stone 50 times. It's 50 times you never manage to lift it off the ground.
Yep.
But it's also 50 times closer.
Yeah.
To number 51 where you did lift it off the ground.
Well, I try to tell people too, you don't realize, you know, you're working all those muscles whether it comes off the ground or not. What do you think you're doing? You're strengthening your body to get ready on 51 where it comes up now 6-8 inches, all right? Now let's just say it comes to your mid shin. That to me is success. That strength that's coming. The problem is with that, you know, Martin, it's like, I'm not telling you anything, but I'm going to tell everybody out there. The problem is everybody thinks that, okay, they equate like a 100-pound stone like it's nothing, like it's a barbell. I can lift it. I got news for you. The majority of people won't even lift a 100-pound stone. And especially if you got those natural stones where they're all over the planet the way they're made from the earth, okay? So that's the thing. But look, comment on that, and I know we're coming up on time shortly, but I want to get to the New Hampshire Highland Games, and obviously you did a stone lifting clinic there. Tell us about that and a little bit of the buzz around with who was there, et cetera, et cetera. So take it away.
Just to recap on what we were speaking about, the point can't be made enough that you should can always train, never leave it.
Right, right.
You're far better to do something than nothing.
Yep.
I mean, I had put my weight onto the stone at the back, and I put it up to 160, and I was lifting it off the ground, but I couldn't get up to my lap.
Yep.
And then I did that for about 2 or 3 weeks. It would just come off the ground, but it wasn't getting up. I couldn't get up over my knees. And then I figured out what was going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was my stance. I was using the same stance as usual, but because I had added the weight onto the stone, I now had to change my hand placement because the center of the stone, the center line which you put your hand placement on to even off the weight, had now shifted because there was 8 weight added onto it. So when I was lifting the stone, it was hitting off my leg just below my knee.
Yeah.
So because I've been training and I've tried to lift it, lift it, and lift it over a amount of weeks, it then came to me because I need to change something here, a bit of technique. And only because I kept lifting and lifting and lifting, I was maybe failing what I wanted to do with it, but it was never a fail because I kept training. It was just because I kept lifting all the time that I managed to change my technique a little bit. And then I As soon as I did that, I went out onto my lap and up to my chest.
Mm-hmm.
All it was changing a little bit of technique,
mm-hmm.
and I lifted it from the ground, from the usual, like, say, 6-7 inches, onto my lap, and then straight up to my chest. And I've done it ever since, because I changed a little bit of technique. But if I never trained every night that I was, I would never have changed my technique in the first place.
Right.
So you're always far better to do something than nothing.
Right, and you know what? The smart thing you did, and that comes from experience, and we use the word repetition all the time here. Doing things that way, you find out what's going on with you. You know, a lot of people don't want to admit, okay, my technique may need to be a little bit tweaked. Or, you know, the worst thing a lifter ever wants to hear or hear from anybody else is you got a weak spot or two on you that you got to improve. And you know something? I can't wait till you and I meet and we start ripping stuff up all over. And I'll be anxious to see what you're going to say to me. Because I don't get insulted by people saying, you know, as long as it's nothing derogatory, and I know you're not a guy like that, but some people will try to punch holes in you deliberately. What I'm saying is, when you go and you lift with people, you know, Charlie said this to me last night with the show. He says, you know, Eric, I always learn something from you too. And I said, well, that's the same way it is with me, you and Charlie. Same way with you and I talk, and Martin. I hope I bestow something on you that you're like, you know what? He's got a point there. I didn't think of that. And it's the same way with what we're talking about now. It's little things that we might not see that a guy's going to, like yourself, is going to, hey, Eric, maybe you got to open your legs up a little more to get that. And then suddenly I go to pull it and I rip it and I almost knock myself over because I've done it. All right. And that's very important and vital. And you can be scratching your head for months and what the hell happened? And you figure it out. So I love all that.
It was just through repetition because I kept training.
Yeah.
Even when I felt like it was not coming. But I just still went out and trained anyway.
Yep.
And
yep.
only because I kept doing repetition after repetition.
Yep.
Kind of became better at doing for that Pacific Stone, and now I can lift it up better than I ever could before.
That's awesome. Yep.
And before I move on, then you have
to sure.
I'll say to you one thing that I do. I always do take something away from yourself as well.
Thank you.
And the biggest thing I always take away from you is inspiration.
Thank you.
Because you inspire a lot of people, and you inspire me a great deal as well.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
And it's always good to have a conversation with you, because I always come away inspired to kind of do a little bit better, a little bit more.
That's why I said, I was like, if we were ever together, I was saying, if we were ever out in a field together, someone see us, they'd probably throw a net on us, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I love this stuff, man, and no one's ever going to stop me from wanting to do stuff, and I love to learn. And I never will stop, you know what I mean? And it's the people that are the thinkers and the learners that are successful, like ourselves. But New Hampshire, I know we don't have a lot of time here, but just go over some of the highlights. And when you come on again, you know, if you want, we can get into it more, among other things, please.
Yes, it was a really great experience. I was there for, I was there in February, then I was there again for New Hampshire Highland Games in September there. And I was there for 5 days, and I was I was staying across the road, mm-hmm. at a neighbour of Bill
yep.
and Holly's.
Yep.
There was so many people there for the games. We were all spread about through the through the neighbours.
Yeah.
All the neighbours had somebody else staying with them.
Good.
And then, but Bill and his wife Holly are great hosts. They really look after everyone there, and. I mean, I can't say enough about them. They're really good. Everybody was there. They made everybody feel like they're welcome, like the family, and it was kind of surreal to be around, because there was maybe at one time it could have been like 20, 30 people there.
Sure.
And it was just unreal. But one of a good part of it was Hafthorp Johnson. He was staying at Bill's.
Yep.
Through that 5 days. So I got to meet him and hung about with him for about 5 days. And of course, most days we were in the pool at Bill's. He's got a pool in the back garden, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when one day the New Hampshire News, they came over to interview Hofler.
Nice.
In Bell's Garden. And so then interviewed the rest of us as well. There was five of us sitting poolside. We all got interviewed. I got interviewed as well. It was pretty cool to be interviewed with the same people that was interviewing Hofler.
Sure.
I've got to say he's a good bloke because I've seen him with his fans.
Yeah.
Even when he was getting tired and wanting to go back for a lie down in his hotel and stuff, people were coming over to him and wanting to get autographs and take photos and stuff, and he would do that. He was never he never turned anybody away, and he was really good to all his fans. So that's something that was really good to see.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people out there that would turn people away and things like that, and say, "Oh no, I'll see you another time." But it was pretty good to see somebody that you can admire for what they've done.
Yeah.
In a way of sport and stuff, and see that they're actually a good person to other people. But the biggest thing highlights for me would be for each of the 3 days that the Highland Games is on.
Yep.
I put on a stone lifting class.
That's awesome.
And the classes are supposed to be on for 45 minutes each day. But on the Friday and the Saturday, it ran for an hour.
Wow.
And then the Sunday, we went for 2 hours.
Awesome.
So many people come in to have a shot on lifting stones. We had 5 stones out for people to... Because when people come in, I would ask if they've done anything like this before, or put their background out in strength or sport and stuff, and get a little bit of background about them. And then I would show them the technique, and then I would get them to lift one of the stones, and if they did well in one stone, they could move on to the next stone and gradually keep going. But to start the class off, I would demonstrate and speak to everyone how to lift stones in the first place, and then give them like one-to-one kind of tuition as they come in to lift as well. And when I first went over on a Friday, I was walking over to where the stones were to start the class, and I seen a big crowd of people.
Yeah.
And I thought they were actually just there to see something else or walking past, but as soon as I stood by the stones, they all came flocking over.
It was really, I love it.
It was really amazing and surreal. What a feeling it was, just to see that everybody was actually there.
That is awesome.
A lifting a stone.
Yep.
And you would never have thought things would take off the way they have. Again, when I first started in 2011, all I knew about was the Inverstone, and that was it. But through Peter Martin, I ended up learning a lot of other stuff.
Sure.
And now, like we were saying, stone lifting is taking off.
Yeah.
In a great, humongous scale. It's unbelievable the way it's getting better and better and more popular, and more people want to try it. Yeah, I think this year and next year and the following year, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and better and better and better.
Well, Martin, I'll tell you what I want to do, and I mean, you'd be one of the people that I'd love to have come is in the next few years, you know, with my brother with muscular dystrophy, and we do things back and forth with them. I'd love to do something like that for the kids with muscular dystrophy, have a big cookout, bring some of the guys in, and we'll end up, you know, running a meet. I don't know how big it would be here, but I guess that's the next question I want to ask you, among other things. But I want you to tell everybody, because when people were coming and participating in your clinic there, I'm sure they weren't half Thors, all of them. So I obviously stone lifting is starting to branch out, I assume, all over. But tell us, who are coming and listening to you and lifting with you?
You know, it was a really big variety of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there was people that had never tried it before.
Exactly.
They just wanted to give it a go to see how it felt. And a lot of them said afterwards that they're going to take it up as a thing now amongst the training.
Yep.
The training they usually do, they're going to start implementing stone lifting as well now.
I love it. I love it.
Everybody was really gracious as well. They're all shaking my hand afterwards.
Yep.
And saying thanks. It was really good.
That's awesome.
And of course, and there's people there also from people that had never done it before to people who'd never lifted like a natural stone before.
Yep.
But they lifted Atlas stones in the gym.
Yep.
And then there was guys that do like powerlifting and weightlifting and bodybuilding. And there was a woman that came in, she was 61.
Awesome.
She was very into fitness all her life.
Yep.
But nothing more like a kettlebell sort of fitness and aerobics and stuff like that. nothing to do with lifting any substantial sort of weight.
Sure.
But she wanted to give it a go, and she got on really well. And she was, it was seeing her face and everyone else's faces off when they looked. So I lifted the stone up to the lap and then stood up with it.
Damn.
And it was just amazing to see how happy everybody was to do that.
Yeah, I mean...
of course, everybody was clapping and cheering for everyone as they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it was, the whole thing was just kind of an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, and that is, tell me that... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just, and what I was saying, it was just a total variety of people from people that are maybe beginning at maybe even the age as well, from 20 to like 61.
Ah, that's awesome.
Beginners to more professional kind of people have done sort of things like this in the past.
Yeah.
But even I managed to help some them as well with some technique. Because there was a guy, he lifted a lot of stones in competition and stuff, Atlas stones.
Mm-hmm.
He went away and he said, well, he was glad he did it because he learnt a few new bits of technique he's got to take into his training. So that was pretty good to hear.
Hey, man, you gotta feel pretty good about it. I mean, here's something that most of us just do in a field, a backyard, or like you in the garden. And suddenly now you're coming out speaking, helping people. You know, now you're writing a book. And I mean, all the things you've done for even people that are on this show that contacted you, as I said, and not only got directions, but you came and met them and lifted stones with them. You know, you're getting your payback, man. And it's going to keep coming in great ways to you because you do things in an unselfish way. And look what you're doing for everybody. I think that is fabulous, man. I can't say enough about this, and I'm glad we're all part of this because, as I said with this show, we are going to use this platform and ram this stuff out all over the world, man. It's that important. It is that important. And I agree with you with everything with how you can transfer this to any sport you want. You know what it is? It's mainly, I know from my brother-in-law, you know, with high schools and stuff, obviously, a kid gets hurt with a stone, there's going to be a lawsuit. That's why a lot of that. But I also think, too, a lot of these guys don't know really how to lift stones. And I'm not convinced a lot of people yet in these genres really either don't have the confidence to do it or they don't fully believe it. You know, it's like what John McKean said to me about what we're doing in the power rack. He said even back in the 60s and 70s when they were doing this and some guys had phenomenal lockouts and all kinds of lifts with this, these guys didn't want to touch it. It was too damn hard, you know, period, and I'll leave it there. Anything else, brother, because I know we're at time with you. Anything you want to summarize, give out websites, obviously. I'll give my material out, and we'll see when we get you on next month, and we will continue the voyage, my friend.
Thank you. Well, this has been a really good, a great conversation, and I've missed our conversations over the last little while. It's good that you're mentioning how people are maybe a little afraid to do something or give it a go, or maybe because they've not got the technique right, or they can get injured. They'll say they can get injured doing this and that, but it's the same doing anything.
Yeah,
I mean, look at was it Superman? Was it Christopher Reeves who fell off a horse and broke his back?
Yeah, remember that? Yep.
I mean, you're not going to break your back in training lifting a stone. You're maybe you could get injured yourself a lot if you're not doing it right.
Right.
Look at all the there's racing car drivers. How many of them crash every day? I mean, there's boxers. There's a few of them being killed. There's all sorts of injuries can happen in any sort of activity or sport that you do. Anything you do, there's a potential of injury, and some are very high. And what we do isn't near in that same scale as they are. But it's like I was saying, as long as you learn the basics, which is what the book is all about, you can stick to the basics, but you can change the way you lift because your body will, as you progress and do rep after rep, once you've done a few hundred reps, your body will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Put you into a new position for yourself. But as long as you're sticking to the basics, then that'll happen. And you can lift any way you want as long as you stick to the basics and the principles, and you can learn how to lift a stone properly, then that's all you need. You just need to stick to the basics. Last thing about the book, I'll say, If there's MD out there, hope you don't mind my Dennis.
Yeah.
If there's, I'm actually thinking for the first maybe 50 to 100 copies, I may see if maybe a gym might want to sponsor the book for the first 50 to 100 copies.
Yep.
And of course, I would put them the logo and about them in the book as well, because I'm hoping that the book's going to be really successful. So if MD Dows want to be a part of sponsorship for the first few copies, then they'll get a big kind of a part in the book about their gem or corporation or whatever they do within there as well. But aye, well, it'll have to be some sort of gem or a fitness injury of some kind. Of course, the website, of course, is the Facebook page, like you mentioned at start, historicstonelifting.com. And the website is the same thing, historicstonelifting.com. I'll be updating the website over the next few weeks with some new material. And of course, there's a lot of people that are interested in doing the Ember Stone. A lot of people are getting in touch with me are more interested in Ember Stone than because it's more well known than some of the other stones. Until I find out about the other stones. There's a big list of the book that you can sign after lifting the Ember Stone. I've got all them people's names and what they've said and how they got on from 2004 to present day on the website, so they can download that or look at the PDF in there and see how people have got on all over the world from 2004. So it can even maybe give them a little bit more encouragement and maybe break that fear that we're speaking about they might have.
Yeah.
About lifting. Because and you don't have to pick the stone up over your head or anything like that, or up your shoulder. All you need to do for a successful lift is pick it 4 inches off the ground, and that's all you can see you've lifted it. As long as it comes up 4 inches off the ground,
okay,
that's a successful lift, and then you can move on to phase two, which is onto lap, phase three, chest, and carry on from there. And never ever, the big thing I always say, I'll never stop saying, never ever worry or think about what somebody else did before you.
Exactly.
If somebody else picked it up to the chest and you can just get it that 4 inches off the ground, that's no lesser a feat, because you're different people. They've trained different from you. You maybe do different sports. So never ever let somebody else, what somebody else can do, put you off. Because you lifting it up, say, even on your lap, and somebody pressing it overhead, it's still an impressive and no greater a feat to what the other man did. So never be put off by whatever anybody else did, and never have the fear to give it a go.
Hey, Martin, I want to tell you something. Those last 20 words you just said, as important as your book is, you may have just gave out the secret of what a strength athlete is, and not to compare yourself to other people and have pride in what you do. Because you know what, my friend? All those things we talked about are teachers and ground layers and foundational layers. But what you just said meant more to me right now, because I know from training people and being there myself, we put an awful lot upon ourselves to match up with other people. Sometimes that doesn't happen the first, second, third time. Maybe it never will. But the thing is, have pride in what you do and train hard for it, and don't worry about everybody else. So go ahead, man. Finish up.
Yeah, well, just to say more about that.
Yeah.
When I was watching everybody, because we got over, what was it, like 100 people over that 3 days. So it was like 4 hours at the New Hampshire Games where I was doing the classes for.
Yeah.
And there was 100 people came in, and each of them people kind of kept inspiring me, because they were so delighted with what they did, and they were giving everything they could, and then they're so happy to even give it a shot, whether they even got it off the ground a few inches or stood up with it or whatever. And it was really great to see that from people. And so, like I said, it's no difference seeing somebody lifting a 50 kilogram stone or a 100 pound stone to somebody lifting a 300 pound stone.
Shame in it at all.
Aye. No, there's no, as long as you give something 100%.
Yep.
You have just, If you lift a 100-pound stone and you give everything you got 100%, then you have done just as well as the guy you lifted a 300-pound stone.
I agree.
So never can I let anything like that get in, stand in your way. There's nothing less, there's nothing more impressive than seeing somebody grind their teeth out lifting even the light stone.
Yeah.
To somebody goes and picks up a heavier stone twice as heavy with ease.
Yeah.
It's far more inspiring.
Yep.
To end seeing somebody grind themselves out lifting a lighter stone and really giving everything 110% and being happy with what we did.
Yeah, I agree. What else you got, brother?
I think that's it for us now.
Okay. All right.
It's great to be on here, and I'm more than happy to give MD advice. So just keep getting in touch with me through here, through my Facebook page, through the Historic Stone Lifting website.
All right.
And I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Awesome.
MD gets in touch with me, I will get back to him.
Okay.
But through like family life and stuff, it might take a few days or a week, but I will give them the information that I require and help them in any way I can.
Awesome.
That's it.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, we are all winners and champions. Remember what Frank Klein, my great college professor, says. Quitters never win and winners never quit. And you got a full dose of that on today's show with Martin and myself. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Winners and Champions, Inc. There you go. 14 modules that'll change your life. Stuff that I have built for people like that we were talking about, whether you are starting, you're intermediate, or you're advanced. There's something on there for anyone to take and do. There's nothing, you know, nobody's really reinvented the wheel. We've just come out with different ways to do things that are better in some instances. So check that product out. Also, contributing to both companies, there's a contribute button on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Anything you can contribute is very much appreciated. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, this show with Martin will be up tomorrow. And then we've got a number of them next week. We got a couple new people coming on next week. I'm not going to announce yet. So the wheel keeps turning. The big wheel keeps turning. Also, too, if you'd like to get on our free newsletter, motivationmuscle.com, that page, we worked on that, Douglas Graham and myself, among FBC. We've got some really good stuff happening behind the scenes, and I want to thank Douglas for that. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Martin and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, too, iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We appreciate it. Get M&M in your car 24/7 through AHA, A-H-A. That's the directory where you can have us in your car anytime, 24 hours a day. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. You know what inspiring somebody will do. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And the great Hoos of Steel, Stone Crusher, says, in blood red, domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. Russell Furr says when he listens to our shows, there's testosterone dripping out of speakers. More so than ever, 2018 is our year, everybody. Our year. Frank Klein, greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever, would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself on your best or worst day, or just keep repeating it. Watch how your life will shift. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more people about us, because we're not going to kick your door in. We'll blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. You need us. We need you. Les Brown said you all have greatness in you, but we take it 2 steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you. And I'll tell you right now, these shows are just dynamite. And Martin, it's always an honor, and I thank you for coming on here. I look to a big 2018 for us both, and I look to lifting some stones with you this year too. But I know people are going to say, well, you always say that. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things going on here, and you guys all know a lot of it, and the business has got to thrive before I can do this. Would I like to hop on a plane and meet you in Iceland tomorrow? You bet your ass I would. I would do it in a heartbeat right now. But it will happen. So I appreciate you coming on. I wish you and your family a happy new year, your two girls, your wife, and I look forward to having you on next month, and it's always an honor to have you on, my friend.
Well, thank you, Eric, and I'm looking forward to our next conversation next month as well.
Yes, sir.
And before I go, I'll say one thing to everybody out there. Be inspired. No matter how much weight you can lift,
yep.
Never give up. Give 100%, and I promise you'll be a winner at the end of the day.
You bet. And I'll tell you what, before I sign off with Martin, remember this. Life is asking something from you. You need to start delivering. You need to man up now. The days of men in the background are over. As Dr. Wong and I said 2 days ago, look out, 2018, men are back, and we're back in a big way, as we talked about Berserker on that show. So for Martin Janzik, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll have this show up tomorrow. We'll talk more about Martin's book, I'm sure, once it's released. And you know what, everybody? Just go out and live. Go out and live and lift something heavy, sleep heavy, eat heavy. Most of all, though, be the best you can be. Thanks for listening, everybody, and go out and seize it. Have a great day and a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.